I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program, local, state, and federal officials continue working on the Flint water crisis. Yesterday, a report by the Congressional Research Service found that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency did not get involved in Flint as early as it could have. Also yesterday, a $30 million state appropriation for covering residents' water bills was approved by the Michigan House. Now, to learn how these and other issues are playing out in Flint, we welcome two veteran journalists from Flint's newspaper of record. Bryn Mickle is the editor of the Flint Journal. He has been at the paper for about 16 years. Also, Ron Fonger has been a reporter at the paper for nearly 20 years. And Ron writes regularly about the water emergency. Bryn, Ron Fonger, welcome to both of you.
I'm here.
I'm here as well.
Very good. Bryn and Ron are both with us here. Welcome to both of you. We appreciate this a lot. Ron Fonger, I'll start with you. There was activity at the EPA's Flint Center yesterday, and this involved the apparent delay. They acknowledged yesterday an apparent delay in EPA involvement in the Flint water crisis. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we did see that the arm of Congress that investigates that came out with a report indicating that they did not act as quickly as they should have. That's something that, you know, the federal government's role in this is still something that's unfolding. The state's role has been so much more front and center. But there obviously was delay in terms of the response from EPA. And there was delay in addressing the water issue overall as the state and the federal agencies went back and forth about what to do and who had the authority to do what.
Bryn, the Michigan House yesterday approved sending $30 million more to Flint to help cover water bills. And the measure now goes to the state Senate, as I understand it. I get the impression that this was a particularly sore spot for Flint residents, having to pay for toxic water. Can you talk to us about this chapter in the water crisis?
Yeah, I mean, you've had a lot of people here basically voting with their feet by just saying, you know, we're not going to pay for something that we can't drink. And that's had a real effect on the city's budget. I will say, you know, they've given these the approval to the $30 million, but the city says they actually need closer to $60 million to cover that that cost. So, and there's still, you know, there's still skepticism on how all of this is going to play out as far as, you know, how they're going to get that money that was already paid by residents for money for water they couldn't drink. Back in the hands of residents, whether it be through credits and things like that. So while, you know, people are happy to see the $30 million, they think that it should be a lot more.
We're seeing efforts unfolding in the state capitol, like the attempt to pay for the water bills, and that will presumably be forthcoming. But we're seeing initiatives coming from city government as well. And a lot of the story in recent days has been the different courses plotted by each, by the state government and by the city government. There's been disagreement, for example, over the removal of lead service lines. Ron Fonger, what do you know about any plans to replace those lines? Where is that story right now?
Well, the governor came to Flint yesterday afternoon, and I was at the press conference where he announced that there's another $2 million that's been granted to Flint through a distressed cities program. And that money is going to be used to start Mayor Weaver's plan to kind of fast-track this program and get to replacing some of the lead service lines where the city has been able to establish where they are. And they're also looking to do that first at homes where there are young children and pregnant women living there. Now, where it goes beyond that, that's anyone's guess. You're right. Earlier this week, the governor and the mayor seem to be going at cross tracks on this issue of lead service line removal. The governor announced that the DEQ had hired Roe Engineering from Flint to come up with a determination within 30 days, kind of let's definitively try and figure out where the service lines are. The mayor says we know enough now that we need to get started right away. The announcement yesterday that there'd be at least $2 million to do at least, it sounds like, several hundred homes and to get started on that here in a matter of days or weeks, we'll see. But that's going to get started.
I mean, the Fast Start program has a price tag a lot higher than $2 million, doesn't it?
Correct. Exactly how much, we don't know. They seem to think that they're going to be able to do it for less than was originally estimated if they follow the example that was set in Lansing. There are crews here who are going to be showing some city crews how to do this replacement. But yeah, we've seen estimates all over the place in terms of how much it's going to cost to do this. And I think it's fair to say we don't know exactly how many lead service lines are out there. The ballpark number has been 10, 15,000 of them.
We're talking with Ron Fonger and Bryn Mickle of the Flint Journal here about the latest wrinkles in the Flint water crisis and other developments related to Flint. Bryn Mickle, do you anticipate, do you expect these disagreements to continue to be a part of the story?
I do. At the pace things are going, I think that the people of Flint are frustrated, and they're asking why things haven't been done faster. You know, the idea that that they are going to replace some of the lead lines, you know, people are looking at this and saying, you know, I'm not going to drink the water coming out of the tap until that line is replaced. I mean, you've got people that have lost complete confidence in government at this point, and rightfully so. I mean, the government that was there to protect them ended up poisoning people. And the mayor has been very steadfast that she wants to see complete replacement of these lines. The state is taking a more measured approach, and I think as long as you have, you know, these two, you know, you have one side that wants it done now, the other side that's saying, well, we need to take a look at everything and do this all in due time, I think you'll continue to see a butting of heads on this.
Bryn Mickle and Ron Fonger both work for the Flint Journal. We're talking about the latest in Flint regarding the water crisis. The state's been the focus of most of the blame for the water crisis, but it's also been said there's been plenty of blame to go around, and Current State got a taste of that on a recent reporting journey to the city. I'd like you to both listen to one resident we spoke with. This is a gentleman named Jesus Rodriguez. Here.
It's terrible that Flint's this way, and I blame the city, not the damn governor, the city, the mayor, all the councilmen. They're the ones that are, it's their responsibility. They're the ones that screwed us.
So a different angle there from a Flint resident who seems to be angriest at the city government. How often do you hear that assessment of things from Flint residents?
I mean, I think that opinion, my view on it is that's more the exception rather than the rule. I mean, you got to remember, when all this took place, the city was under complete control of an emergency manager. So the mayor and the city council had no real power under that. I mean, everything, all the decisions were being made, and the emergency manager was appointed by the state. Had final say on those. So I think, you know, most of the people that I talk to, you know, their anger is directed at the state, even more so than the Fed. And you don't see as much anger at the city as you do with the state.
From a distance of 45 miles, we spend a lot of time just trying to visualize what life is like on a day-to-day basis for people who have really been hit by this emergency. Ron Fonger, can you describe for us at all what life is like for Flint residents who are still relying on bottled water?
I think especially the fact that this is kind of the relief effort has unfolded in the middle of the winter has made it difficult for people. This is not a situation where you sit back at home and wait for the water to be delivered at your doorstep. We had a little bit of that going on initially, but by and large, if you want water, you're going to have to get yourself down to one of the five fire stations in the city. You know, you're limited as to how much you can get. You've got a lot of people who have issues with transportation, who might not have a car, who, you know, might have, you know, moms with young kids with them. And it's a hardship, no doubt. And that has led to a lot of the frustration of trying to exist without being able to drink water directly from your tap. There have been the filters that have been distributed. So at least, you know, that tap, that faucet source of water is, you know, an alternative. However, like Brent said, there is a lot of skepticism about that, even though there have been good reports that the filters are working and people are encouraged to use them. There's still some distrust. And, you know, as recently as last month, we had the city, the state, and the federal officials who were advising that pregnant women and young children should not be drinking water, even if it's filtered, unless it has been tested and shown to be have a low level or no level of lead.
We've got just 30 seconds or so. I'll wrap up with you, Bryn Mickle. Talk to us. I mean, we've got a new landscape for municipal, still a relatively new landscape for municipal government in the city. The emergency manager's gone. There's an elected mayor and a city council. What kind of start, briefly, please, are these new elected officials off to? Do you feel city government, do the residents of Flint feel that the city government is in good hands?
Well, I think the overwhelming opinion is that the mayor has been what the people have been looking for, which is a vocal voice for the people who hasn't been afraid to come out publicly and sort of scream from the mountaintop that something needs to be done. I would remind you that even though the emergency manager is gone, we still are under control of a state receivership board that has final say on the financial decisions. So the state has not left the city. They've given more power back over to the mayor, but the state does have final say through this transitional board on the major financial decisions.
We'll point out for our Lansing listeners here that Lansing's Joel Ferguson was just appointed by the government, or by the governor, I should say, to that board. We want to thank our two guests. Bryn Mickle is editor of the Flint Journal. Ron Fonger has been a reporter at the paper for many years. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Mark.